I think we got a wave, right? I will call this meeting to order. This is the Planning Commission meeting for the City of Grover Beach. It is Tuesday, September 3rd, 2024, and we are at 6:01 p.m. This meeting may also be viewed on Channel 20 and is available on live streaming at the city's website and on www.slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by calling 805-321-6639. The phone line is now open. And if you are at home watching the live stream, the phone or the live stream is sometimes up to a minute behind what's actually happening in the room. So if you want to comment, call in sooner rather than later. Thank you. I'll now ask Commissioner Halverson to lead us in the pledge. Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Ratana, please call the roll.
Commissioner Halverson?
Here.
Commissioner Hoffman?
Here.
Commissioner Holden?
Here.
Vice Chair Swift?
Here.
And Chairman?
Here. Thank you. At this time, the Planning Commission will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. The Commission should, by motion, adopt the agenda as presented or as revised. Do we have any suggested changes to the agenda as it's been given to us?
I just have a quick question. If there's going to be a lot of discussion surrounding item 4, would that get moved out of consent now, or would it get moved out of consent later?
Item 4 is not in the consent.
It's not in the consent agenda now.
The only thing in the consent agenda is the minutes.
Oh, never mind.
Okay.
Never mind.
Good suggestion.
Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I move that we approve the agenda as written.
I second.
We will have a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? The motion passes. There would be multiple opportunities for public comment, and they come in a certain order. At this time, we will receive public communication for items that are not on the agenda. Please call in at 805-321-6639 if you would like to provide any public comment. Any member of the public may address the commission for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this commission. The Commission will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the Commission cannot act on items that are not on the agenda. I will open public comment. Is there anyone, and I have not received any green forms for this, who would like to provide public comment at this time? And this would be for things that are not on the agenda. I don't believe it is.
What was
it? Oh, the one, is that the one? I believe that's item 2. So you, if you want to fill out a green form, if you haven't already, please do so and give it to Ms. Ratana, and we'll make sure that you can speak at that time. Did anyone else want to speak to something that is not on the agenda at this time? I see no one in the room. Is there any who needs to? Is there anyone on the line?
No, there's not.
I will close public comment for this section of the meeting. We now move on to item 1, which is our consent agenda. This is the minutes from our August 6th meeting. Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the commission on the item listed under the consent agenda? If so, please call in at 805-321-6639. 3.9, sorry. The commission cannot discuss or ask questions of any item under the consent agenda. If you would like to discuss an item, it must be pulled from the consent agenda. I will open public comment on this. Is anyone interested in speaking to item 1 on the agenda? Seeing we have one person, you want to speak to the minute on the minutes? Okay, so we'll get to that soon. There's multiple rounds of this public comment, so we'll open it and close it. Is there anyone on the phone who wanted to speak to the consent agenda?
No, there's not.
Then I will close public comment for item 1. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I motion to approve the consent agenda as written.
I will second the motion.
Clerk Ratana, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Hoffman?
Yes.
Vice Chair Swift?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
Commissioner Halverson?
Yes.
And Chair Mann?
Yes. The motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item 2, which is development application 24-45. And Community Development Director Megan Martin will give us a presentation.
Thank you. Megan Martin, Community Development Director. So before you this evening is development application 2445. This is a hotel and single-family residential development located at 1598 El Camino Real. Slide, please. The project, the approved project includes a vesting tentative parcel map, use permit, and development permit to construct 2 4-story hotel structures with a total of 176 rooms, and construction at the rear of the lot, the yellow and the green, construction of 7 single-family residences. The applicant's requesting a 2-year time extension in compliance with the city's development code, specific to time extensions, that's 6.30.060B1A and B. Subsection B allows an entitlement that's subject to state or federal permitting requirements to request additional time extensions beyond the typical 3 years that a code would otherwise allow. Slide, please. The applicant has made significant strides in pursuing development of the site and has obtained the necessary environmental permits, as well as submitted their building permit as of August 2024. I've provided an extensive list of what they've accomplished since 2020 and their project approval. And so just a note, while the necessary permits have been secured, they are accompanied by certain conditions, such as seasonal surveys and other restrictions, which may impact their construction schedule. The requested extension would provide the necessary time for them to comply with said conditions and to close out their environmental permits and avoid risk of losing both the permits and the entitlement approval. So in staff's opinion, this additional time is critical to ensuring full compliance and successful project completion. Slide. With that, staff recommends your commission approve the resolution and extend the land use entitlement for 2 years to August 24th of 2026. This concludes staff's presentation, and I'm available for any questions you may have. We are also joined in the audience this evening by the applicants, should they wish to speak to the project.
Great. Thank you so much. Do any commissioners have questions for staff at this time? I believe I'm supposed to call the roll here. So, Commissioner Halverson?
I have no comments.
Okay. No questions for staff at this time. Commissioner Holden?
No.
No
questions.
Commissioner Hoffman? No, I can't remember everybody's name.
No questions.
Vice Chair Swift?
No questions.
And I do not have questions on this item. So I will open the public hearing. As a reminder, if you would like to call in for public comment on item 2, which is the presentation we've just received, please call in at 805-321-6639. I will open this public hearing, and I will invite the applicant to speak if they'd like to come forward.
Hi, my name is Darshan Patel. How's everybody doing today?
Good. Great.
So, as the community development director mentioned, that we have been making very solid progress towards advancing this project to construction. We're actually anticipating construction at the start of next year. The main sticking points have been working with all the different agencies and getting the permits approved, and the next step is going to be the phasing of how we're doing the construction. So that's what we're looking to achieve at this stage, is to ensure that as we're under construction, we're not having to worry about the scheduling, the phasing conflicts that might arise as we're trying to satisfy the permits that we received up until this stage, especially regarding the state and federal environmental agencies. Thank you.
Thank you. I have two green slips for folks in the room that would like to speak on this issue. Eugene Gatilia, is that how you pronounce your name? Please come forward.
Gilia.
My name is Eugene Gilia. I reside on Laguna Court here in Grover Beach. I'm a member of the HOA that we border the property that is mentioned in the application. I just wanted to say that my wife and I are not opposed to the extension of the application. We would be opposed to any changes or amendments to the application. If it is not changed or amended, we have no opposition to extending the permit or application. Thank you.
Thank you. I also have Andrew Pirogue. Please come up.
I live on 1829 Atlantic City Avenue, and I'm, you know, hearing now about the development, and I thought it's going to be down on the frontage road, but I think the building proposed, I looked through the plan from 2018, it's going to block a substantial portion of my view of the valley, so I don't know if there's anything that can be done. I know you guys want the tax revenue, but the way it is now, our beautiful view, our sunset, with all the street lights on the parking lot, I don't know if we'll have that beautiful sunset anymore, so I'm concerned about getting my view blocked, quite simply.
Thank you very much for your comment.
So that, and just, I don't know if there's any recourse, but I guess this is not the proper time to talk about that if I, so I guess that, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the room who wanted to speak to item two? And is there anyone on the phones?
No, there's not.
Hearing no further comments, I will close the public hearing for this item and let the commission provide comments on the report. Do I have any commissioners that wanted to comment on item two?
I do have a quick question. This is regarding one of the people that spoke, Mr. Prog?
Yes.
The last guy. He mentioned light pollution in the valley, and that's actually a question for community development. We have kind of a night sky requirement in our code. Is that clear enough to, in a situation like this where it wouldn't, development wouldn't produce light pollution in that valley?
Any and all lighting is required to comply not only with our building code standards, but our development code. So an example of that is that all lighting on the building itself will have to be shielded and downlit. That should help to alleviate any light pollution up into said night sky.
Thank you.
Do any other commissioners have a comment on our question? I don't either. I will entertain a motion to approve development application 24-45. Oh, sorry. I did close the public hearing. Okay. Yes. So I'll entertain a motion for development application 24-45.
I'll move that we approve development application 24-45 for a two-year extension of their permit.
I'll second.
Clerk Ratana, would you call the roll, please?
Vice Chair Swift?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoffman?
Yes.
Commissioner Halverson?
Yes.
And Chair Mann?
Yes. The motion passes. Moving on to item three. This is development application 24-46. And I will call on Associate Planner Reese for a presentation on the proposed project.
Good evening. This site, 950 El Camino Real, is located
in the coastal visitor serving and retail commercial zones. The site is currently under construction for a 135-room Spring Hill Suites Hotel. The applicant proposes a total of 4 signs for the site, which include 2 wall signs and 2 freestanding monument signs. I've kind of depicted where each of those signs are. So the top, let me try to find my cursor, hold on, and the pointer. Never mind. So the top picture of the one that says entrance will be at the west driveway entrance. The middle picture is the sign for the front of the building that would be fronting El Camino Real. The bottom picture is the wall sign that's proposed for the east side of the building facing Oak Park Boulevard. And then finally, the last sign, kind of on the bottom left of the screen, is at the other driveway apron. The development code includes sign regulations for all signs within the city. Typically, new signs require a sign registration or sign permit and are approved ministerially, which means at staff level. However, some signs requiring more discretion, such as involving modification to standards or some special consideration category, require a sign program, such as a couple of these tonight. While the development code allows wall signs to be located below the second floor level without planning commission approval, because the applicant is requesting to install the letters, the wall signs at the fourth floor level at the top of the building, the sign program tonight is required. In addition to proposing the freestanding monument sign with the hotel name, the freestanding monument sign with the entrance direction is also proposed, and that also requires the sign program. Okay, now that one. The sign program can be granted if the Planning Commission make the following findings: that there are special circumstances applicable to the property, the sign is in substantial conformance with other design guidelines and design standards, and then the sign's design or proposed construction would not threaten the public health, safety, or welfare. As previously mentioned, the project includes a request to install wall signs at the fourth floor level, which would be visible from the freeway and surrounding area. Staff supports an exception to the standards of the sign ordinance because the proposed location of the wall signs would provide visibility from El Camino Real and Highway 101, assisting visitors to easily locate the development. For the directional signs are allowed in commercial and industrial zones to help direct drivers to locations such as the entrance to a facility. The proposed directional sign is designed as a freestanding monument sign with a height of 3.5 feet, which is under our maximum height limit for freestanding signs, and indicates the location of the entrance to help guide people to the correct driveway entrance for getting into the hotel lobby. In accordance with CEQA, it has been California Environmental Quality Act, it has been determined that the project is categorically exempt because the project will not cause a direct or reasonably foreseeable indirect change to the environment. And then staff recommends the Planning Commission adopts a resolution approving development application 2446, granting the coastal development permit and sign program. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you very much. I will open things up for the commissioners to ask any questions of staff, and I will call on you. Commissioner Halverson?
I'm always first. So the CEQA exemption, are we just talking about for the signs?
This
or are we talking about
for the
whole
signs.
Project?
Just for the signs.
Okay.
Yeah, so the hotel itself received its...
Right.
And the whole development received the CEQA determination at the time of approval as well.
I assumed that, but I didn't understand why CEQA would be involved in a sign, but okay.
That's why it's a... exempt.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Hoffman?
No questions.
Commissioner Holden?
No questions.
Vice Chair Swift?
No questions.
I do have one question about the monument signs. What is the setback from the road? It's not going to block people's view of being able to exit safely, is it?
No.
Okay. It looked like from the design that was at least, 5 or 10 feet back from the road.
Yeah, I don't know offhand the distance.
Okay. I presume that's something that's in the code. Can anyone else speak to that?
We can look it up and respond after public comment if there is any.
Okay, great.
But at the time of building permit application, they'd be required to comply with all building code as well as development code setback requirements. But I do not believe in our review of this application that there were any issues with site distance or it being located closer to or out of compliance with the front setback. So we'll look into it really quick.
Okay. Thank you very much. I will now open the public hearing for item number 3, starting with if the applicant is here, if they'd like to speak. I'm not seeing any hands go up. Is the applicant here for item number 3? Would you like to talk to the commission?
No. The only thing I might add is...
Would you like to come to the front so everyone can hear you? Thank you.
My name is John Walker. I'm the sign installer and the applicant for the permit. The reason we're asking for the extra height on the signs is if you drive by that location, there's a small creek running down there, and it kind of takes a big dip. And if we were only allowed to put the signs at the second floor level, you wouldn't even be able to see them from any distance at all. And even moving them up to the top, there's trees on the freeway and stuff that blocks it somewhat, but it would at least be visible from the freeway and the El Camino Real street. And that's the main reason we were asking for the extra height, just for visibility purposes. So I don't know if anybody has any more questions for me, but I was just going to throw that out there.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I have two slips for this item, starting with Ron Riley. Would you like to come up?
Apologies, I meant public item number 3. So
this is number 3. Do you want 4?
Yeah, it's the third public, so number 4.
You want 4. Okay. We can do that. And I have a Joseph Pivovarov?
I didn't know that.
Also for item 4?
Please, thank you.
Okay. You got to go to the back of line, though. Is there anyone on the phone? Is there anyone else in the room who wanted to speak to item 3, which is the signs at the hotel? I'm not seeing any hands go up. Anyone on the line?
No, there's not.
I will close the public hearing on this item. Moving on, hearing no further comments. Commissioners, any discussion on this item amongst ourselves?
No.
Nope. Okay. Well, then I will invite a motion to approve development application 24-46.
All right. I move to adopt development application 2426.
I will second that.
Clerk Rotana, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Halverson?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoffman?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
Vice Chair Swift?
Yes.
And Chair Mann?
Yes. The motion passes unanimously. Moving on to the big item that everyone's very excited about. Item number 4 is development application 23-50. The applicant is Coastal Community Builders. And we will hear a presentation from Senior Planner Kyle Bell.
Okay, I'm all set up now. Thank you for the introduction. My name is Kyle Bell, Senior Planner. Tonight we'll be reviewing a development permit application to construct a new four-story mixed-use development project. The project includes 23 new residential condominiums, 2,500 square feet of commercial retail, and outdoor patio space located at 197 West Grand Avenue. Do I have control over the mouse? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Here we go. The project site is located east of Highway 1 along the intersection of West Grand Avenue and Union Pacific Railroad, with direct access from West Grand Avenue, North 2nd Street, and Ramona Avenue. The project site is located in the coastal visitor-serving zone and identified in the West Grand Avenue Master Plan. The project site is surrounded by industrial and residential uses to the east, commercial uses to the south, and a vacant land to the north. The project site has been developed with 10 existing structures that were constructed between 1963 and 1994 and is currently occupied by an ATV rental company. The proposed project will include the demolition of all existing structures on the site to accommodate the mixed-use development project. The project consists of the construction of three new buildings, a four-story mixed-use building located at the southernmost portion of the property facing West Grand Avenue, and two three-story residential buildings located along the western portion of the property. So I identified them on the screen here. So there's the mixed-use building and then the two residential buildings. The project also provides access from North 2nd Street and Ramona Avenue with a combination of service parking and garage parking for the residences, and includes an 8-foot sound wall located along the western property line to help alleviate noise from the railroad. The mixed-use building consists of two commercial suites and an outdoor corner plaza, with seven residential units located behind and above the commercial space. Each of the residences includes a rooftop deck above the fourth floor. The two residential buildings, located along the western portion of the property, include a total of 16 townhomes, and each townhome also includes a rooftop deck above the third floor. The project complies with all objective design standards and aligns with the vision of the West Grand Avenue Master Plan by featuring a mixed-use building that includes a mid-block passage along the railroad, effectively breaking down the scale and mass of the building and enhancing pedestrian and resident connectivity. The project also features tandem parking garages, which promote a more efficient use of land by reducing the area dedicated to vehicle parking. And the applicant's presentation will go into much more detail of the design of the project. The project is located at a key gateway for the city and has been designed in a way that enhances views of the site from visitors traveling along the railroad, Highway 1, or West Grand Avenue. The project is consistent with the general plan as it has been designed to integrate residential and commercial uses located within walking distance of neighborhood amenities and incorporates high-quality design standards that enhance neighborhood design, activates the streets, and supports a vibrant pedestrian environment. The project complies with all applicable development and performance standards, consistent with the provisions of the requirements for the zone, with the exception to fence height regulations. The applicant is seeking a modification to standards to deviate from the 7-foot height limitation to accommodate the construction of the 8-foot tall sound wall. The Planning Commission has the authority to provide flexibility to allow for minor deviations or exceptions from the development standards to respond to unique conditions of a property that constitute a reasonable use of the land. The required findings to support the modification to standards have been incorporated into the resolution. Finally, an initial study has been prepared to evaluate the potential environmental impacts and has resulted in a mitigated negative declaration. The initial study identified the following sections which have potential impacts unless mitigated. The appropriate mitigation measures have been incorporated into the resolution to address the impacts and reduce them to less than significant. And tonight's recommendation is to find the project consistent with the general plan and development code and approve the project as proposed, subject to the findings and conditions outlined in the resolution. And that concludes this SAS presentation. I'm available for any questions.
Thank you very much. I will call on each of you if you have questions about the proposal from staff. Commissioner Halverson.
I have no questions of staff.
Commissioner Hoffman.
No questions.
Commissioner Holden.
No questions.
Vice Chair Swift.
No questions.
And I have no questions at this time. We will open the public hearing. Again, I will invite anyone who's watching to, as a reminder, to call in at 805-321-6639. The public hearing is now open. I will ask the applicant to come forward.
Good evening, Chairman, Commissioners. Thanks so much for having me here again. I think they're working on getting mine up there, maybe. I probably have too many slides, but I'm kind of excited about this project. So I just want to say thank you for this opportunity. We were here almost a year ago. I looked back at the records, and it was October that this project first came to you. And I think it's been a little bit longer process, but I think it's been a good one. There's some more environmental concerns out there. There's some site mitigation. There's some noise challenges. So I think that process has actually helped. And your feedback from October, I'd love to show you how we incorporated that into the actual design that you'll see here tonight. So Scott Martin with RRM Design Group, representing the applicant, Coastal Community Builders. But we're both here if you have any questions after hopefully brief presentation. So with that, next slide. The site plan, I'm sorry, sometimes it shows horizontal, sometimes it shows vertical, but we'll give you an overview of the site, how we are conforming with the West Grand Avenue plan, what our circulation concept, along with building design concept, and then some landscape. We got a little more landscape on this one, so excited to show you that. And then, like I said, here to answer any questions. Next slide. The project site, I think we all know, I drive by it as BJ's, that's what I think about it when, you know, the ATV area. So this is definitely a transformation. It's in a bit of a pit right now. There's some grade and some topo, and so we're a little low. We've got some drainage challenges. I think this project is going to solve a lot of those non-pedestrian issues and really humanize this space that is otherwise a challenge next to the railroad tracks, Grand Avenue, two intersections within a short walk. We are actually reducing access points. So as Senior Planner Bell said, there's three access points onto the site now. We're reducing that. We're utilizing two, the one off of 2nd Street and the one back off of Ramona. And we're really trying to bring a more public presence to the building itself, where applicable anyways. If you go to the next slide. This really demonstrates, I didn't copy it, but it's really close to that building B that was straight out of your Grand Avenue master plan. So there was some thought put into this years ago in your long-range planning. That it's a unique site because it's the wedge, the boot, we call it. There's limited frontage on Grand. That's really the most viable commercial area. But there's quite a bit of site there. It's deep, it's long, it's skinny. How do you accomplish something that is still vibrant and full of people with only such a limited frontage? And that's really led to the design that you'll see here tonight. Next slide. So we brought that mixed-use building as Planner Bell was talking about, out towards Grand, a big public plaza, indoor-outdoor sort of feel, trying to get as much dining and opportunity for people to be still covered, protected from the elements. It's a good wind block, which is what we worry about sometimes, but have that feel of more retail and a vibrant area along the Grand Avenue corner. That was really the focus there. There's a bus stop not too far away. There's pedestrian access. And then the vehicular access comes off of 2nd. You can see it with the large arrow and circulates back through the site. Garages on one side, surface parking on the other, trash on the other, that then can go back to Ramona. So tried to limit the parking footprint on this one. A lot of it is actually, there's more parking enclosed and covered than open to the sky, if you will. We talked a lot about what that residential interaction along the railroad tracks is like when we were here last year. And that is the one exception we're asking for and hoping to grant, is there is a higher than normal block wall being proposed between the railroad tracks and the residential quote-unquote front doors, if you will. You know, we talked about some safety concerns that the commission had. We thought that was very valid. And then there was a sound report done as part of the many environmental studies that really said that would also help mitigate some of the sound to the residential units as well. So now you've got this great little swath of what I'll call front yard space, place to walk the dog, place to meet your neighbors. There's only a small amount of living space on that. Most of the living space is on the second floor, taking advantage of the views and up over. But I could still see somebody walking by and saying hi to their neighbor on their deck and that sort of social engagement. I'll show you a couple other cool features I like as we go on. Next slide, please. Pretty clean building design, I think. We're really trying to follow the master plan, get the building out towards the frontage, and then a sense of individual ownership. You know, these units very different than what we have seen in the past. These are vertical units, so they start at the ground and go all the way up. You own your own air, if you will, which is kind of neat. You don't have someone living above or below you. Next slide, please. We took some architectural inspiration. The row house, the town home, is not something new to even the Central Coast or anywhere in the world. It's a very beloved archetype that creates a real sense of home ownership and individuality, that idea that this is my, I can have my defined walls that are mine. Next slide. We built upon some of that coastal inspiration. Some of the lighter colors, this actually even has a bit of a rolling wave effect we were playing with in the office. There's still some natural materials like wood. The glass sort of harkens back to the ocean and makes sure that you know where those views are coming from. There's some shading needing based on the southern and westerly sides. So there's some interplay of overhangs and making sure shadows are cast. Really maximizing outdoor space on upper floors so that there are individual roof decks. I think it's unique in this case because every neighbor has the same thing. I know roof decks can be a hot topic, but I think when you move into a development like this, you're expecting everybody to have their own private one. So that's kind of a unique case. There are no neighbor interactions with these roof decks versus the other. You're looking either over the railroad tracks or over Grand Avenue. So we thought it was a very appropriate place for such. You can see the larger glazing and outdoor activity down on the Grand Avenue side. Next slide, please. Here's that unit. It's defined as a shotgun or a skinny town or a row house, whatever you want to call it. But it is an ownership opportunity, something where, you know, I could see a young couple and or a retiree really enjoying this community. And so, next slide, please. Again, sort of just highlighting some of the materials. There's a mix of palettes all coming from local inspiration, whether it be a little more sleek garage door or something a little more of modern and coastal influence, some black steel, lighter neutral colors, and then really popped off with some of the wood and horizontal siding that you see. Next slide. I did want to talk a little bit about landscape. Like I said, I think the real people space of this project is internal to the residence. So it's this walkway, which is paved south now, but along the westerly edge of the property, bordering the railroad tracks. That's why we went with that higher wall, to create a little more sense of security and enclosure within there, to keep sound out. But it also creates a sense of privacy. Right up towards the front of Grand Avenue, There's a wash station where you can get the sand off your feet or wash your dog. We thought that was another great amenity to have a little dog wash station right at sort of that threshold. But we could really see this as a place where you go check your mail, you walk up to your front door. It is that sort of interaction as you're walking, you know, down the street to a restaurant or whatever. It's that semi-private space. Everybody has their private space on their roof deck. You have that semi-private, which is the residents interacting with each other. That's what happens along this green alley. And then you have your public space, which is like the street cafe and everything out on the Grand Avenue corridor. So there's a good hierarchy of open outdoor space. Native plants, drought tolerant, water friendly, all of the above, and actually get quite a bit more vegetation on what is otherwise a very urban infill site. So we're excited about that. Next slide, I think, says I'm here to answer any of your questions or specific comments you may have of myself or the applicant. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As we are in the public hearing, I shall continue with that, and then we'll do questions after the public hearing.
Okay.
So, let us get started. I have a lot of interested people, so... I will invite Michael Massey to come forward. And just as a reminder, you have 3 minutes. Don't let it make you nervous, though.
Thank you. Hello, Commissioners, Chairwoman Mann. My name is Michael Massey. I'm a resident of Paso Robles. But I'm here today representing the 200-plus members of Generation Build in our request that you approve the 197 West Grand Avenue project as is. This project brings 23 needed housing units in a community that is screaming and demanding more supply to meet the overwhelming demand that it faces. It also brings two commercial units, ideally a restaurant and retail space, to the heart of the pedestrian commercial corridor for the city. In development and planning, you hear the phrase highest and best use to describe a project or plan. This developer has done that. Our group can't think of a better use than what the developer has proposed and worked with your planning department to bring into reality. As you all know, the supply and demand issue in housing is what we believe is the number one issue facing this community, this state, and this country. Every unit and every home matters. Our generation needs it. We demand it. And we hope that you hear our voices today and approve this project in a 5-0 vote. Let's build. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, I have Stephen Lieberman.
Good evening, Chair and Commissioner Steve Lieberman, a longtime Grover Beach resident. I was on the City Council from 2000 and 2008 when we still had a redevelopment agency. And as those phased out, we started looking at the west end of Grand Avenue and what we could do as an anchor in our community. The Beach Place, where Red Bee Coffee is in Pono, is an example of that first project that we were able to see. This is a continuation. I'm grateful to have investment coming to our community that's bringing us a project that checks all the boxes on code, development code, general plan, traffic circulation. Our infrastructure is all built on assumptions of this type of development. So thank you for your consideration, and I urge moving this project forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I invite Shannon Kessler to come forward, please.
As you said, I'm Shannon Kessler, a resident of Arroyo Grande. I support 197 West Grand because people are South SLO County's most precious resource, and they need a habitat. I'm a South SLO County homeowner and a resident of 32 years. Please remember that as I speak, I'm actually representing 6 members of my family who support and will benefit from this project. They're unable to be here due to work. My son and daughter-in-law live in Napomo. And my daughter, who lives with me and would like to buy a home. My husband's a local contractor who is very busy repairing the many old homes in the area. And my 78-year-old mother would like to use her veterans benefit to buy a home. Please remember that human beings, children, parents, and families are our primary natural resource. And as such, they require a protected habitat. This development would provide a habitat for our precious natural resource. I know that there have been a lot of concerns on how many people are moving to this area. Sometimes people feel like more building will even attract more people. My feeling is that the majority are already here. People that are living multiple in homes, such as in my case. I have my elderly mother, my adult daughter, and a friend of hers who became a tenant when she couldn't find a place to rent. She works for the county and has been saving for 2 years and still hasn't been able to buy a home. And I already mentioned my parents. It is them and others who will be helped by this home. The shortage of varied types of homes in South Slo County is making it difficult to preserve our most important natural resource, which is our citizens. Ensuring that they don't have to move away from their homes and their hometown, they would be helped by this project. I especially like the fact that this project is mixed use. So in having commercial and residential, it reminds me of traditional buildings in Europe and even older parts of California. I like the infill aspect, and I agree that this is the highest and best use of this location and would mean for a marked improvement in the appearance of this site. I urge you to approve this project as it is. Thank you, and have a pleasant evening.
Thank you very much. I'll next invite Michael Stolte.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Michael Stolte. I was born and raised on the Central Coast. I actually graduated from Rio Grande High School and went to Judkins for middle school. I'm here, you know, as I'm actually a real estate builder myself, but I'm in no way associated with this development at all. I wanted to talk a little bit about our housing situation, which I think has already been talked about a little bit. But, you know, we got here in the sense that it was estimated that we need to be building about 150,000 homes per year to keep up with the growth in California. And I believe in the last 30 years, the most we've ever built is about 50,000. And during the Great Recession, we saw about 5,000 or 6,000 built. And so we find ourselves in a very expensive housing market, largely because we didn't keep up with demand, right? So when we try to address that demand, as someone who grew up here, I think it's important that we do it responsibly. You know, we have a very beautiful community, and most of us would like to keep it that way. With that said, we definitely do need to build. And there really isn't a better way to do that than urban infill mixed use. It is the gold standard for providing housing while providing a walkable, you know, enlivened community. And that's exactly what this development is trying to do. Furthermore, townhomes are about as good as it gets. You know, you're talking about a stepping stone for home ownership. This is a community that has young folks that are looking to own homes, and that's getting more and more difficult. And yet townhomes provide them that perfect opportunity to get their foot in the door. These are 23 for sale townhomes while still providing, you know, a mixed use element with two retail opportunities that really fits this particular location. You're essentially providing a better gateway that continues Grover Beach to the actual beach, which I think is a great element. You know, also something that's important with mixed use is that it actually helps reduce traffic. You know, that may or may not be talked about today, but it is a very important element. And you know, this development will help support schools. It will help support emergency services. It will provide funds to better improve the local roads. And there's quite a few projects that are going on grand right now. Those funds directly improve that work. So I urge you to approve this, and that it's already been in the process for a year. It would be nice to see it get approved today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, I'll invite CJ Vigil.
Good evening, members of the Planning Commission staff. My name is CJ V. Hill, and I live in North Grover Beach. I'm here tonight in support of this mixed-use project. And I wanted to start off by saying that, you know, I speak with a lot of folks around the city, and a common sentiment that I hear a lot of is wanting more of a downtown experience on Grand Ave, something that lends itself for more of a social life. And excuse me. This project will revitalize Grand Ave and support the concept of a pedestrian-friendly community. And I was also really happy to learn that this project is going to include remediation of the soil. So not only are we getting this mixed-use project, but they're also cleaning up that area as they're developing that. And moving on, I wanted to clarify, and please, the experts here, correct me at the end of this if I'm wrong, but I wanted to clarify a few points of concern that I've heard from those opposing the project. First and foremost is that, as we've heard tonight, it does conform to the general plan, to the development codes, and to the West Grand Ave master plan. It checks all the boxes needed to legally develop. The water and sewer systems we have currently are designed to handle these new developments. They can accommodate them. The traffic element of the general plan also assumes this traffic increase. Again, it can accommodate it. And I wanted to end here tonight by just saying that, you know, Coastal Community Builders is really investing in our city, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how the future develops. Pun very much intended. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll now invite Jeff Chambers.
Good evening. My name is Jeff Chambers, and I'm the CEO of the South County Chambers of Commerce. Tonight, I represent 77 businesses in Grover Beach that collectively employ approximately 2,500 individuals. I'm here to voice our strong support for the proposed development, 197 West Grand Avenue. This initiative not only aligns with our vision and mission, but also embodies the strategic objectives outlined in our public policy guidelines. It represents a vital expansion of housing along West Grand Avenue, bringing more residents and customers to our main commercial corridor. This development is not only about adding new buildings, it's about enhancing our community's heart, creating a dynamic gateway to the city from Highway 1, and welcoming people to the emerging West End. The introduction of new move-in ready retail spaces and the influx of residents will undoubtedly generate increased foot traffic, serving as a lifeline for our local businesses. This development promises to stimulate economic growth, benefiting not just the West End, but Grover Beach as a whole. By revitalizing a blighted property, this project holds the potential to be a cornerstone in the transformation, continuing transformation of the West End of Grover Beach. It will create an inviting space that attracts both residents and visitors, breathing new life into an area that has needed it. Adding more housing units to our city is not just beneficial, it's essential by increasing supply and providing more options for our community members. It's important to emphasize that this project is rooted in our community. CCB is not a large development firm from outside of the area, it's a local company investing in its own community. This ensures that the benefits of this development stay within Grover Beach, strengthening our local economy and supporting our residents. We understand that construction projects come with temporary challenges. However, the long-term benefits, ranging from enhanced business opportunities to a more vibrant community, far outweigh these short-term inconveniences. We're truly excited about the positive impact this development will have on the growth and vitality of our community. It represents progress, opportunity, and a brighter future for Grover Beach. Given these significant benefits, I strongly urge the Commission to support the 197 West Grand Avenue development. The South County Chambers of Commerce represents 546 members with over 18,000 employees, many of whom already call Grover Beach home. We believe this project is essential for further boosting our local economy. Thank you for your service to Grover Beach and for the opportunity to represent our members this evening. We respectfully ask for your favorable vote today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I will next invite Krista Jeffries.
Is she here?
Let's move on, and we'll get back to her. Jared Warthen, I'll invite you.
Hi, my name is Jared. I'm a resident of Royal Grande. I'm here tonight to voice my support for the development of 197 West Grand Avenue as proposed. As a resident of the Five Cities, the action taken by Grover Beach, both by the Planning Commission and City Council, to approve bold projects along Grand Avenue are inspiring and thought-leading. The approval of taller buildings allowing for healthy density that will support local shops, restaurants, and create a vibrant Grand Avenue. The way that Grover City's leadership laid out their vision in the West Grand Avenue Master Plan, then partnered with local developers to get everyone rowing in the same direction, is awesome. I hope that other local municipalities see what communicating a clear vision and then being a partner can do in supporting their cities. Your thoughtful leadership and clear vision, followed by swift approvals of these projects, are actions that will attract investment from other high-quality developers. Thank you for your visionary and bold leadership in the Five Cities. Grover Beach is benefiting as we speak because of your leadership, and I hope other municipalities are watching.
Thank you very much. We'll go back to Ms. Jeffries.
Good evening, commissioners. I live a couple of blocks from the proposed development. I cannot begin to express how much literally anything is better than what's there right now. Walking to the beach right now is a little bit depressing just to see how much potential that there is, and it's so encouraging to see that Grover has, you know, tweaked the code to try and encourage some growth and change that we all need, and it's finally happening all up and down Grand Avenue. I'm really, in particular, excited about the fact that these are family-sized homes. It's hard to find new construction that is family-sized and also attached, which comes with significantly lower prices than detached homes with large lots. So good on you. Let's do it. Sounds great. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And I will invite Joseph Pivovarov. Sounds Slavic.
It is. Good evening, members of the commissioner. My name is Joseph Pivovarov, business and tech consultant for Ren Strategy, local resident of Grover Beach. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak today. I'm here to discuss the 23 new housing units that are proposed to go up on 4th Street and the community's needs for the city's long-term projects. So scratching some of this just from heart, as a resident here, the sunsets at the lower level of 1st Street are quite impressive. But you're talking about having 23 units and the inclusivity dignified, exciting family members, visitors, and owners of this area that would be able to have the most beautiful sunsets from the top decks of that area. I've been on First Street where I have a friend that owns a local business there, and from the train tracks, it might be some of the most impressive things that I've seen on a sunset, minus that part of that segment. And the opportunity for this growth here in our community to see that this would be the location that people are really interested in just coming through to shop locally, be around all the other small businesses, and a place to just walk to and from in this district is quite impressive. And the work that's going on has really been significant in seeing the growth of all that. Additionally, as a veteran, I like the opportunity for housing and development for others, because I was a Coast Guard veteran, has a large opportunity for others in the area to use their assistance to provide housing. And thank you for your time and consideration. Have a good evening.
Thank you. I will now invite Ron Riley.
We actually got the opposite order that time. Appreciate it. Good evening, planning commissioners. My name is Ron Riley. I'm the CEO and president at Gehring Taylor & Associates in Arroyo Grande. We're a civil engineering firm. I have no affiliation with the project, however. I'm here to express my strong support for this mixed-use development. First and foremost, this project addresses a critical need in our community, maybe the most critical, housing. The addition of 23 townhomes will help to alleviate the ongoing housing shortage that has made it difficult for local businesses like mine to attract, recruit, and retain talent. Beyond housing, this development will also be a significant job creator. There will, of course, be the construction-related temporary jobs, and once completed, the new commercial spaces will create permanent jobs, helping to strengthen our local economy. This project is also a key step in bringing the city's West Grand Avenue master plan to life. It's not just about adding buildings, it's about creating a vibrant mixed-use environment that aligns with the long-term vision of Grover Beach. Also, I believe one of the goals of that master plan is to create a true destination for locals and tourists. This project would be a key step in that direction as well. By combining residential and retail spaces, it will draw people to the west end of Grover Beach, boosting foot traffic and supporting nearby businesses. And finally, while not the main focus, it's worth noting the project will address the necessity of remediating soil contamination left by previous uses. So the development represents a well-rounded investment in the future of Grover Beach, addressing housing needs, creating jobs, revitalizing West Grand Avenue, and enhancing the community's appeal, all while addressing some environmental concerns. Please vote yes. Thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you very much. I invite Lindy Hatcher.
Good evening, Commissioners. I'm Lindy Hatcher with the Home Builders Association of the Central Coast, speaking on behalf of my organization. The HBACC serves SLO and Santa Barbara counties and represents builders, contractors, financial institutions, insurers, consultants, and many other professionals working in the building industry. Together, we advocate for housing for all, and specifically market-rate housing for our workforce. A study by the National Association of Home Builders found that housing injects millions of dollars into the local economy, including direct and indirect effects on local businesses, services, and jobs. In addition to economic development benefits, the state requires more housing, and this mixed-use project would bring a fusion of housing and retail space as projected and adopted in your 2011 West Grand Avenue Master Plan. Projects like this in the downtown AG have far more benefits than drawbacks. Grover Beach, oh my gosh. Sorry about that. Oh my gosh. Okay, so they really do have far more benefits than drawbacks, like cleaning up the contaminated soil, beautifying the space. I've been on that train, and that is an eyesore. And this project is absolutely beautiful. And it also adds housing supply, as we've heard. So really, few people want change. But the city planned for this development in this specific area, and we ask you to honor that commitment and approve this project and help house our workforce now and into the future while offering more potential retail and restaurants to serve your current growth. Thank you for hearing our thoughts. Thank you, Grover Beach.
Thank you very much. And I will invite Jeff Lee to come forward.
Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. Jeff Lee, Grover Beach resident. So here to kind of build upon the previous comments where I am in support of this project and encourage you to support this project as well. As I've seen on social media, there's a number of people calling this the West End Best End. And so I think that this project builds upon that moniker and becomes an opportunity for local residents to live here, having moved from other locations, while enjoying the beach, enjoying the train station, enjoying clean soil, enjoying Grover Beach, and just kind of building upon that. So one thing that I would potentially suggest is that if there's not already a condition to prohibit these units from being short-term rentals, maybe that's a consideration, because I believe the desire for these developments would be to have local residents living there and pedestrian level services for the restaurants and the retail on the lower end. CCB has done a great job of investing in this community, and I believe this is another example of that investment that is going to pay dividends. I believe this is either the fourth or fifth project that they've done here, and each one has been stellar and has brought additional residents to the location. The ones that are under construction at 4th and Grand are going to increase the pedestrian walkability of the community to those award-winning restaurants down in the West End, Best End. So I encourage you to support this, and I look forward to locals living here, locals working here, and locals building these developments as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the room who did not get a green sheet to me who would like to speak on item 4? I'm not seeing any hands go up. Ms. Ratana, is there anyone on the line?
No, there's not.
Okay. I would like to point out that we did receive, I believe, 5 emails. So I don't know if we include those names in the minutes at all. I believe they were all in some... Two spoke here. Okay, thank you very much. So, and they were also all in favor of the development. So, hearing no further comments, I will close the public hearing for this item and let the commission provide comments on the report. Commissioners.
Well, I guess I'd just like to say something to Mr. Lee's comment about short-term rentals, and that, of course, is a concern that people come and buy them and then don't utilize them to live here. But I think the short-term rental issue is kind of addressed because we do have limitations on the number that are allowed in the city, and I think we're, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're pretty close to that max anyway. Is that right?
Correct. We're at the max for non-owner occupied. We do not have a limit for owner occupied. This is also in the coastal zone, so it would be a separate waiting list if they were interested in pursuing a non-owner occupied short-term rental license.
Sure. So the other concern that I have that we really can't control, because we do live in a free capitalistic society, is that people who want to buy them as a vacation rental, people in the valley, and come here on the weekends every fourth month or something. So it stays mostly vacant. There's nothing we can do about that, of course. But it is a concern that that I have that I don't know how we would address. So that's my take on your comment, sir. That's all I have.
Okay. Commissioner Hoffman.
I just want to say that I appreciate our comments from last time being taken into consideration, and I think I like what the project is looking like. I think it's pleasing, and I'm really excited to see how it all unfolds.
Thank you. Commissioner Holden.
I have no comments, and I agree with Commissioner Hoffman.
Vice Chair Swift.
I always have questions. Dave asked my one about the STR. So in the presentation that the design, I always forget your name.
Scott Martin.
So he put up the original West Grand Avenue master plan for that corner, and in the fine print it said 2 to 3 story mixed-use development. When did we revise the development code to accommodate 3 to 4 story mixed-use development?
I believe that was with the most recent update from 2021 and 2022 when Coastal certified the update.
And so that's really the only thing that's changed in that area is the additional, essentially an additional floor. But otherwise, it's all basically consistent with what was done back in 2011 or so.
Correct. And at that time, that was the maximum height that one could build to. So I would still propose that this is consistent with the West Grand Avenue master plan. It's consistent with the development code maximum height limit, as well as the number of stories that would have otherwise been allowed had this been done at the same time as the West Grand Avenue master plan.
Thank you. And maybe you can't answer this question, but do you have a ballpark of what these will list for? I know when you proposed it last year, you were thinking that these were fairly high-end, you know, kind of luxury places. Do we know where this will sit in terms of affordable for which purchasing group? Certainly not the moderate income.
Cam Boyd here with Coastal Community Builders. I'm the applicant. We're always hesitant to publicly disclose potential listing prices because there's a number of factors that can impact that, anything from cost implications, market forces, so on and so forth. So that said, this is not intended to be a low-income product. It is, you know, on the far west end of town with ocean views from the second, third, and rooftop levels. It is not, they're not grand estates. I think that it's, I would consider it attainable luxury. How's that?
Thank you. Any other comments, Vice Chair Swift?
I think that's all the questions I had.
Great. And it's my turn. I first want to thank everyone who came out to give public comment. I think this is the most that I have seen at a meeting, and I've been on the commission for a little over 2 years, almost 2 years. So thank you so much. It really does matter, and it's great to hear the enthusiasm. As a resident of an attached, skinny, tall home that's three stories, they're great homes. On this particular project, would I have maybe made the layout a little different? Probably. But I trust the professionals know what's going to attract folks and work for them. So I will just point out, because I live in one of these homes, I have a skylight above the stairwell on the third floor. One of the challenges, and this is a much, my home is only like 40 feet in length. These are, 52? They do come with challenges of getting a lot of getting natural light in. Of course, there'll be a lot of southern exposure, but we may find now that you've got, I guess you're going to have a stairwell going up to the top, so that may be allowing some light into that upper space that's going to make it, you know, a little more lively. So those are my only two thoughts on the design after I had a look at it. So we're fully discussed here about the project, I will entertain a motion to adopt the resolution for, if I can find my sheet, come on now, development application 2350. Do I have a motion?
I move that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution 2350.
I'll second.
Ms. Ratana, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Hoffman?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
Commissioner Halverson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Swift?
Yes.
And Chair Mann?
Yes. The motion passes. Thank you, everyone. So, looking back at our agenda, we'll give folks a moment to clear out.
Attainable luxury.
Yeah, well.
Attainable luxury.
Yeah. I mean, what are we saying? Eight? I bet these start easily at a million. Wow. Think so?
All right. Seeing no regular business on the items on the agenda, we move on to commissioners' comments. So does anyone have anything else they'd like to talk about this evening?
I do.
Okay.
I always have something to say.
Yes, Vice Chair Swift.
My comments would not have been appropriate for that last item because it's really not applicable. But what I did hear from some community members that they're still concerned about view shed, and I keep reminding them that we don't protect views, and you know that's the business we're in. And what I would like to see on things like this, maybe at earlier stages, and I think he showed us some, is if you were to do like when new developments come in, if you were basically able to do a topo that shows where the height of the building basically projects back away from the coast into the community, so that you'd have an idea for how to communicate to people where you start, not just showing up in people's views, because If I can see the building, it doesn't matter if I can still see over it, but where it really becomes shadowed. And I know when this one's in particular originally came up, I went and kind of walked those neighborhoods and used telephone poles and palm trees as my witness poles to get a feel for where it projected back into the community. And it actually wasn't bad. But I think from a, you know, from a communication perspective, as we get people saying, hey, what are you guys doing down there on the Planning Commission? You know, why didn't you look at this? I think having some ways that we can pass that information on and say, hey, we looked, here's how it projects into the neighborhood. It's not impacting R1s, you know, whatever it is. Having some of that information available would be helpful.
Yeah, we can look into some opportunities as to how we can best communicate that. I think always part of the issue is that it is not a development code requirement to have that level of rendering unless there's potential for it to impact a public view. So, for example, at the county of San Luis Obispo or even Pismo Beach, oftentimes projects that may interrupt a public view to the coast or the public view to the mountains as a backdrop, they may put up story poles and then actually have a visual analysis completed in order to understand what that actual impact and the significance of that impact would be from a public view shed. But I'm happy to look into different opportunities and bring that back to your commission just for consideration and additional discussion.
Yeah, I think it's just really, really a communication tool because you know, clearly there's a lot of support for projects like this. And it would be helpful to better communicate, to give us something to better communicate that with.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Traffic is another one. I know we've talked about the traffic impact, and there's an updated circulation element happening late this year, early next year.
It'll begin this year, actually.
This year.
Yeah. So I'll be speaking on that at my with my director comments.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So now that you said all that. We used to have story poles because we used to have something in our code that did actually protect view sheds. I think if you start putting those up again, you're going to get more questions than you will otherwise. But going to your suggestion, I think it's a good one if these days of computers and all, I'd be surprised if we can't simulate that on a computer screen and to be able to take views from different locations and see the projected height of the building and be able to address that to the public and show them that, yeah, there's going to be some blockage, but it's not this much and so on and so on. So I would discourage. And well, the other thing, of course, is it costs money. You'd have to hire surveyors and, you know, erect the things and all that. And we don't want to increase the cost when we're trying to encourage more housing.
Well, and at this point in time, I don't know that it's within the city's budget to identify a resource that could, where staff could then utilize it, the training that it would require to actually create the renderings, and also asking each developer, regardless of the complexity of the design, et cetera, could also be an expenditure that would be cost prohibitive to, you know, Joe down the street that's just wanting to do a two-story residence, but it could have an impact in showing what that impact could be. But again, I think there's some opportunities out there, so we'll look and see what we can dig up for us and bring it back for further discussion.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hoffman, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
No.
And Commissioner Holden? Okay. I just had one thing. So through my workplace, I have access to something called OpenAI, and it allows us to create basically a repository that you can query using natural language. So you might have heard it called ChatGPT. And so I took the building code PDFs, and I combined them into one, and I put it into my ChatGPT repository. And I was able to query it very easily, and you know, questions like what's the maximum height in this zone, you know, those types of questions. And I just wanted to share that it's not something that I can share publicly because it is my workplace, but they told us to play with it, so I did. But I wonder if there might be
Do you mean the development code?
Yeah, or the development code.
Oh, okay. You said building code, so I was like,
sorry, not
so
the
many pages.
Code. The Grover Beach development code.
Okay, great.
So
yeah.
You know, asking it to for an R3, what, you know, that's located on this street. What is the, you know, what are some of the, you know, what are the setbacks for it? And so that ability to query using natural language versus, you know, control find. which I think a lot of us do with a PDF, was kind of a cool experience and maybe something to think about as a communication tool at some point. I don't know if staff is using any AI things at this point, so just want to bring that up as kind of a fun thing I've been playing with, and I don't know, we'll keep our eyes out.
Yeah, we're not currently using any AI technology or software for purposes of our day-to-day. I would also caution that AI is only as learned as, there is also a limit to what mm-hmm. AI is capable of, and mm-hmm. so querying could lead to a wrong answer. So mm-hmm. just always checking in with us if folks at home decide to try out that same exercise, just always checking in with us before they pursue any development. I think also our city attorney may have some additional feedback regarding AI technology and its usage.
So one of the other things we would caution against too with the use of AI, particularly if you're uploading a large document, is that the context window within AI programs is limited. And so when the context window is typically limited to about 200 to 300 pages max, and the issues that have been found within the OpenAI infrastructure is that it will generally not review all of the documents, it'll quickly summarize those documents and provide you an answer based off of its summary that it's done on its own. Mm-hmm. So there are issues potentially with large documents like that. So that's really sure. the only caution.
Yeah. All right. I don't think I had anything else I wanted to talk about. So shall we move on to the Community Development Director's report?
Just a couple of things. First, the second reading and adoption of the development code amendments that your commission took a look at back in August will be presented to the City Council at the September 9th regular meeting. I just want to say again, thanks to all of your input. All of your comments have been incorporated into those amendments, and the Council will be considering that at a public hearing on September 9th. Second, the city acknowledged receipt of an award in the amount of $3.3 million. That will fund phases 1 and 2 of the Ramona Garden Park Rehabilitation Project. This is through the Community Development Block Grant funding. The city manager also announced a community giving campaign kind of associated with that, which will support additional funding for the project. You can go onto our website for more information. The next is the West Grand Avenue Streetscape Project. As you have probably seen driving up and down West Grand Avenue, that project continues. This is an effort to install storm drains along West Grand Avenue, and the city's finalizing connections to the main pipes. Actually, that may have been completed end of last week, but if not, they're finalizing those connections to the main pipes. We're continually updating our project website. You can go online. It's Major Street Rehabilitation Program on the city's website. The city hosted the Central Coast branch of the American Society of Civil Engineers for a presentation and tour of the project site. So it was really exciting. Our senior engineer and our associate engineer were able to take budding engineers and the Association of Engineers around on a site tour of West Grand, and it was kind of fun to see them all in their hard hats walking up and down West Grand. But we received significant recognition for the work that the city's currently doing. A couple of Planning Commission meetings ago, I mentioned the Bi-Local program. I just wanted to report out on that. We've received updated numbers from Mr. Chambers and the South County Chambers. And as of a couple weeks ago, we received receipts upwards of $29,000 with $4,000 in gift cards funded by the city. So that's a 7-in-1 return on city funds, which is really incredible. So I know that there's been a lot of impacts with the West Grand Avenue improvements, but it's exciting to see that people are investing in the community and giving back to those businesses that would otherwise be impacted. And just a last bit of fun news, the Spoon Trade will be featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. So it's one of the few Slo County restaurants featured on this upcoming season, so our entire county will be highlighted. And it's a great moment for Mr. and Mrs. Town and their passion for serving our community for the past 9 years. So a great moment for our city as well, kind of exciting to be featured. And that's all I have, unless anybody has any questions of me on any of the exciting developments in our community.
Can you remind us when phases 1 and 2 of the Ramona Garden Park project will begin?
Yeah, absolutely. So we were just notified of the award. My understanding is that we have approximately 30 months to expend those resources. So I believe that we will be receiving the contract from HCD here in the next month. Once we receive that contract and our city manager signs it, that starts that 30-month timeline. So I can't give you exact dates, but I can give you that we have to expend those funds within 30 to 33 months. We typically like to do it in 30 so that we can come back to City Council and report out on the expended funds. But yeah, once we receive that contract, we'll get the signature and that starts the clock.
Thank you.
Quick question on Ramona. So phase one and two is the bandstand and the playground. And then the follow-on phases was the Veterans Corner and the dance floor slash park art and bathrooms, right?
Great question. Let me look at the map for us. So phase one and two. So phases one and two. Phase one is the playground. Phase two is the amphitheater. Phase three is the park entry. Phase four is the pickleball courts, but at this point in time right now, I think that we're still discussing negotiating the ownership of said lot where phase four would occur. So right now, just phase one, phase two is the playground and the amphitheater.
And where's the design on phase three?
I don't have the answer to that, but I can communicate with you, correspond with you later this week after I touch base with our CIP our capital improvements program manager, Aaron Wiggin.
I know there were a lot of questions when the conceptual design was shown that there were the people that liked art in the park and there were people that said, don't put that in the middle of the dance floor.
And as far as design, I will say that we are pursuing the 2024 CDBG grant award for phase three. Okay. And so to be able to pursue that application, we do need a complete design. And so I'll, like I said, I'll check in with Aaron, Ms. Wiggin, tomorrow, and I'll get back with you on where we are with the design and where you can identify the plans.
Anything else? With no further business before the commission, I adjourn this meeting at 7:27. Thank you, everybody.